text 39. Please repeat. Na etat manaham tava kathasa vipunthanatha sampriyate durita duṣṭam asādhu tīvraṁ kāma āturaṁ harṣiśoka bhaya eṣaṇā ārtam tasmin kathaṁ tava gatim vimrśāmi dīnaḥ. नैतामनस्तव कथासु विकुण्ठनाथ संप्रियते दुरिततुष्टम साधु तीव्रम् कामातुरं हर्षशोकभयैषणार्थम् तस्मिन् कथं तव गतिं विमृशामि दीनः नैतान् मनस्तव कथासु विकुण्ठनाथ संप्रियते दुरदुष्टम साधु तीव्रम् कामातुरं हर्षशोकभयैषणार्थम् तस्मिन् कथं तु गतव गतिं विमृशामि दीनः नैतान् मनस्तव कथासु विकुण्ठनाथ संप्रियते दुरदुष्टम साधु तीव्रम् कामातुरं हर्षशोकभयैषणार्थम् तस्मिन् कथं तव गतिं विमृशामि दीनः
Manaha, mind. Tava, your, Tathasa,
in transcendental topics. Vaikunthanatha, O Lord of Vaikuntha, where there is no anxiety. Sampriyate, is pacified or interested in. Durita, by sinful activities. Dushtam, polluted. Asadhu, dishonest. Dipram, very difficult to control. Kama Aturam, always full of different desires and lusty propensities. Harsha Shoka, sometimes by jubilation and sometimes by distress. Haya, and sometimes by fear. Ajna, and by desiring. Artham, distressed. Tasmin, in that mental status. Katam, how. Tava, your. Gatim, transcendental activities. Vimrishami, I shall consider and try to understand. Dinaha, who am most fallen and poor. Translation and commentary by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. My dear Lord of the Vaikuntha planets, where there is no anxiety, my mind is extremely sinful and lusty, being sometimes so-called happy and sometimes so-called distressed. My mind is full of lamentation and fear, and it always seeks more and more money. Thus it has become most polluted and is never satisfied in topics concerning you. I'm therefore most fallen and poor. In such a status of life, how shall I be able to discuss your activities? Please repeat. My dear Lord, of the Vaikuntha planets, where there is no anxiety, my mind is extremely sinful and lusty, being sometimes so-called happy and sometimes so-called distressed. My mind is full of lamentation and fear, and it always seeks more and more money. Thus it has become most polluted and is never satisfied in topics concerning you. I'm therefore most fallen and poor. In such a status of life, how shall I be able to discuss your activities? Report. Here, Prahlad Maharaj represents himself as a common man, although he actually has nothing to do with this material world. Prahlad is always situated in the Vaikuntha planets, you know, the spiritual world, but on behalf of the fallen souls, he asks how, when his mind is always disturbed by material things, he can discuss the transcendental position of the Lord. The mind becomes sinful because we are engaged in sinful activities. Anything not connected with Krishna consciousness should be understood to be sinful. Indeed, Krishna demands in Bhagavad Gita 1866, Sarva dharmam parityajya mam ekam sharanam vraja. Aham tvam sarva pāpebhyo mokshayishyami māsucaha. Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reaction. Do not fear. As soon as one surrenders unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna immediately relieves one of the reactions of sinful activities. Therefore, one who has not surrendered to the lotus feet of the Lord should be understood to be sinful, foolish, degraded among men, and bereft of all real knowledge because of atheistic propensities. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 7.15. Namam duṣkṛtinam mūrthāḥ prapadyante narātamāḥ māyayā pahṛta jñānā āsuraṁ bhāvam āśrutaḥ. Therefore, especially in this age of Kali, the mind must be cleansed, and this is possible only by the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, Cheto Darpanam Arjunam. In this age, the process of chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is the only method by which to cleanse the sinful mind. When the mind is completely cleansed of all sinful reactions, one can then understand his duty in the human form of life. The Krishna consciousness movement is meant to educate sinful men so that they may become pious simply by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Iva Kevalam, Kalamastyeva, Nastyeva, Nastyeva, Gatiranyatha. To cleanse the heart so that one may become sober and wise in this age of Kali, there is no value in any method other than the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Prahlad Maharaj has confirmed this process in previous verses. Prahlad further confirms that if one's mind is always absorbed in thought of Krishna, that very qualification will purify one and keep one purified always. To understand the Lord and his activities, one must free his mind from all contamination of the material world. And this one can achieve by simply chanting the Lord's holy name. Thus one becomes free from all material bondage. Om Jnana Timurantasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manotishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kada Mahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guruho Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sahajatam Sahagaragunatam Hitantam Sahimam Sadvaitam Sahadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagaradita Shri Vishakam Pitamscha He Krishna Parnasindho Vinapanto Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tatta Kanchana Gauravi Radhe Vrindaveshwari Rishabhana Sute Devi Pranamani Hare Priye Pancha Tatta Parakrishya Kripa Sindhu Dhyaiva Cha Paditanam Bhavaneyo Vaishnavyo Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Naitan तथासु निकुंठनाथ संप्रियते दुरित चुष्ट मसाद तीव्रं कामातुरं हरश शोक भयाइश नार्थं तस्मिन् कथं तव कथिं विमृशामि दीना.
My dear Lord, right through the planets, where there is no anxiety, my mind is extremely sinful and lusty, being sometimes so-called happiness, happy, and sometimes so-called distressed. My mind is full of lamentation and fear, and it always seeks more and more money. Thus it has become most polluted, and is never satisfied in topics concerning you. I'm therefore most fallen and poor. In such a status of life, how shall I be able to discuss your activities? Does it sound familiar to anyone?
Yeah.
We all have a mind. We all have to deal with it. So this mind, Etan Mana, he says, Tava Kathasu Nasampriyate O Vikuntanata. So some words here are significant. Acharyas have made different comments here. First of all, Sri Harswami points out that regarding discernment, in fact, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he's relating what he feels to be his incompetence, ayogyatam. He's revealing that and then he's making his prayer in the three verses, actually, beginning with this one. This is the first verse. Text 40 is the next one. Text 41, you'll find in these three verses, Prahlad is making a direct appeal to the Lord out of his Vaishnava humility. So Vikuntanatha, why Vikuntanatha? It's Veeraraghavacharya, I think it is, who says, explains this. He says, Visheshena Kuntha, Vishayeshu Akulam, Vikuntha. Vikuntha means the specific kind of anxiety that is produced when your mind becomes absorbed in sense gratification. Has anyone ever experienced this? When your mind becomes absorbed in sense gratification, you become in a certain kind of anxiety. This is called Vikuntha. Therefore he says, Vikuntanatha, you are the Lord of those who are in anxiety in this material world. And moreover, you are the Lord of those who are not in anxiety. Vaikuntha, they don't have the same anxiety in the spiritual world because they are pure devotees. So he's making his appeal like this. Then he, in the first line, there are actually three points that Prahlad Maharaj makes in the verse itself. This is the first one. My mind is, this mind of mine is never satisfied, Tadakathasu, in topics concerning you. Sri Sri Guru Bharagat Yanoa, Sri Sri Krishna Bhagarama. What does the word sampriyate mean? Sampriyate, you can kind of guess. Sampriyate. This is also given by one of the acharyas commenting, Viragavacharya. Again, he says, Kathasu eva nasamyak priyate. I'm never completely satisfied only in topics concerning you. This is what it means. Sampriyate means to be completely satisfied. We're not completely satisfied. Kathasu eva, only with the topics concerning the Lord. Even though we come and sing, or we try to sing, or we at least listen on the radio every day. Guru Mukha Padma Bhakta Chitete Kuriyaitya Arna Kavi Hamani Asha. You should make the words emanating from the lotus mouth of the spiritual master the same thing as what you spontaneously desire within your heart. And you should not desire anything else, nor distract your attention to anything else. This is what he's talking about. So we sing these things, but we don't really feel them. Because Well, this is the first point. My mind is not completely satisfied only in topics of you. We have some satisfaction, that's why we're here. Especially those of us who have taken the trouble to come to Sri Vrindavan Dham. Raise your hand if you were born here. I don't see any hands going up. So we've all taken some trouble to come here. We have some taste, but it's asamyak. Asamyak. Samyak means complete. So it's not complete satisfaction, and it's not exclusively in these topics. This is the point. So, what is the problem, therefore? That brings us to the next point Prahlad makes. In the next two lines, barring the first word, he says, Durita dushtam asav divram kama turam harasha shoka payayishan artam. This is the reason that he's not taking satisfaction, or that he says he's not taking satisfaction only in these topics. Durita dushtam. That's the first thing. The mind is what Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur here calls Takishta. Takishta means, anybody know? Yeah. Sinful, not only sinful, but most sinful. Abhishtam. So, he thinks like this. And durita. Durita means it's gone in a bad way, as we say in English. He's in a bad way. This is exactly what durita means. Ita means you've gone. And dur means you've gone bad. So, dushtam, because the mind is polluted. Bhanu Swami, I think, translates this very nicely. He says, spoiled by sin. This is what our mind is, spoiled by sin. We'll get back to that in a moment. So, that's the first thing. Durita dushtam. Dushta, you can say, means corrupted. So, what are the other symptoms of a corrupted mind or a perverted mind? Prabhupada uses this word throughout his books, perverted. We have perverted consciousness now. Careful choice of words. Perverted. Durita dushtam asadhu. And how does Srila Prabhupada translate this word? Asadhu. Anybody remember? Dishonest. Very interesting. Dishonest. Other acharyas dealt with it differently. Sridhar Swami glosses that word as bahir mukha. Bahir mukha means facing something else, looking at someone other than Krishna, or putting your attention to external things rather than internal things. That's how he sees it. Viragavacharya says asadhu vritti. That's also significant. Asadhu vritti means you don't live the way a sadhu lives. That means to say, you don't talk the way a sadhu talks. You don't think the way a sadhu thinks. You don't act the way a sadhu thinks. When you are a sadhu vritti, this is the characteristic. So Prabhupada hits the nail on the head, as always. One word, dishonest, period, case closed. We're rascals. This is what it means. So then, what else is he? Tivram. What does tivra mean? We know this word. Tivrena bhakti yogena. Intense, okay. What does Prabhupada say here? Tivra. Very difficult to control. This is how Prabhupada gives the synonym here. Tivra. Why? We know that tivra means sharp, it means pungent, it means intense. Why difficult to control? This he's getting from. Sridhar Swami says he has his own take on this. He says, Durdharam, very difficult to bear. The mind is so domineering that sometimes you can't stand it. The mind is screaming at you 24 hours a day. You see? And therefore, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he glosses this word as Durvada. That's where he gets difficult to control. Durvada. You cannot overcome this thing. Durvada. And another one says, Avinitam. Sometimes in India we have this very common given name, isn't it? Vineet. What does Vineet mean? Somebody who's humble means he's allowing himself to be led. Neet means nayati, means to lead someone. And nita means to be led. Vinita means particularly nicely led. So, that's another way to look at it, another way it's lost. Finally, another acharya says, tad-vimukham, having turned away from him. This is another definition of the word tivram. So, this is what it means to be intense. Kama-atura. Srila Prabhupada here is giving me always full of different desires and lusty propensities. In Sanskrit, we don't make a strong distinction between the English word lust and the English word desire, because they're basically the same thing. They're just different manifestations of the same thing. So, therefore, he gives this kind of dual interpretation here. What does he say in this translation? He says, my mind is extremely sinful and lusty, being sometimes happy, sometimes distressed, full of lamentation and fear, like that. So, kamadishu asaktam, attached to such things as kama, desire, or a particularly sex desire. This is the primary manifestation, as we're going to hear later on. So, vishaya praram means the same thing. Vishaya asaktam. Different acharyas are glossing the same word in different ways, slightly different ways. Now we come to the next phrase, which is very, very rich. Harsha shoka bhaya eshana artham. Four things that harass us. Sridhar Swami has glossed the word artham. Anybody know this word artham? Where do we find the word artham? Huh? No, it's not that. Artharthi, as Krishna says in Bhagavad. That's a different word. It's artham, not artham. This means actually dukhitam, he says, distressed. You are harassed. Piriditam, somebody else says. Piriditam. You are oppressed. Somebody pushing down on you, keeping you down. These are the four things that keep us down. They harass and oppress and tyrannize us, is a nice way to put it. Harsha, shoka, so-called harsha. When we get, Viragavacharya says, when we get sense gratification, then our mind becomes jubilant. Everything is rosy, we're happy, the world is not so bad after all. And when we get the opposite of what we want, then we become submerged in lamentation. Dukeshwanu vignamanaha, sukeshu vigata spriha. Therefore, Krishna mentions these two things more than once. In Bhagavad Gita, he says the same thing. It's important to take note of that because it's going to be on the test. So, harsha shoka, we have to become, elevate our consciousness, our minds, not necessarily only our intelligence, but even our minds also have to be elevated beyond these dualities. And bhaya means the fear that is associated with them. Now, Prabhupada has translated this also in a kind of a dual way. He says, fear and lamentation. So when we lose something, then we lament, and when we don't lose it, then we're afraid that we might lose it. But everything will be taken away. Certainly, it's just a matter of time, and we know that intuitively. We have the internal memory that we usually try to ignore, but it's there. We know. We cannot hold on to it forever. It will be lost eventually. Not lost, taken away. So this is what drives the whole process. Eshana. Eshana. What does Eshana mean? Not so common word. Means your volition. Something that you actually invest your energy in. Go for it, we say in English. That's called Eshana. What you're going to do for sure. You're going to do this. That's called Eshana. You see? So we invest in these things. And the things that drive us, we could say, they are represented by Eshana. Now different acharyas have given different interpretations of this. Viragavacharya says putra dara dhanaishanaya, means sons, wife, wealth. putra dardhana. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says it a little differently. He says, dhanadi vasana, the consciousness of money, and so on. Because everything comes from money. That's why we like money so much. Actually, I think it's in Manu Smriti. When Manu is defining sinful activity, we're going to get back to that in a moment when we discuss Prabhupada's purport in more depth. When he defines sinful activity, he says actually the root of all sin is, as we say in English, anybody know this? Money. Greed. Greed is the worst one. You might think that maybe lust is the worst one because that's the basic principle of material existence, as we're going to hear in a few verses. But actually, money is worse than that. Money is worse. Therefore, Prabhupada translates it, following Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. My mind is full of lamentation and fear and always seeks more and more. This is the point. So that's Ishana. And Artha we've already discussed. He's another acharya says, Ishana Trayena, because Sridhar Swami defines this as Ishana Trayena, the three Ishanas. What are the three Ishanas? He gives us this idea. Putra Vitta Loka Ishana. A little different. Sons and money and loka. What is loka? Maybe popular support or something like that. Everybody wants to have a position in society now. So these things are what drive us in material existence to repeatedly have to undergo harsha and shoka and bhaya. This is the material mind. Okay, so that's the second thing that Prabhupada says. This is the reason why he has no taste in topics concerning Bhagavan, because the mind is polluted by these things. Tasmin, in that situation, katam tavagatim vimrshami ginaha. How can I even consider making you the goal of my life? Gati means goal, also. How can I even consider it? How can I take it seriously? The word vimrshani is used here. It's a very, has a lot of meaning also. Vimrsh can mean to touch something, to perceive something, to consider or ponder something, to discuss something, to investigate something, or as we say in English, to get into something. So how can I even begin to do this when my mind is so turbulent? You see? This is the point. This is the third point. He's asking this question, not exactly rhetorically, but he wants to understand the Lord in truth, as Sridhar Swami has already told us here. Tadeva Bhagavat Tattvam Nirupya, having ascertained the Lord's actual position and considering himself unqualified. The point is to understand the Lord Tattvataha, as he says a few times in Bhagavad Gita. If we want to understand the Lord in fact, then we have to become, the mind has to be a little bit elevated. So that's where, now we've come to the next point, which is Srila Prabhupada's purport. I see at least four very salient points in Srila Prabhupada's purport here. The first one is what he mentions first. Prahlad Maharaj represents himself as a common man, although actually he has nothing to do with the material world. This we have to understand. When Prahlad says, like Lord Chaitanya also says, what is the second verse of Shikshastika? Namraga. I don't have any real attachment to this thing. You've made yourself so much available. Prahlad is saying the same thing. You're coming again and again in so many different forms. You're exhibiting your forms, you're exhibiting your qualities, you're exhibiting your pastimes. He's enumerated several of them in the previous several verses. In spite of all this, my mind is so sinful that it does not take full play only in you. And that's significant also. Nanuraga, the taste has not arisen. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur raises the rhetorical question, not exactly rhetorical, but he says, why doesn't our mind enjoy the holy name of Krishna? Krishna or topics concerning Krishna if these things are so sweet? We know the answer. Everybody knows the answer. What is the answer? He gives the answer, just in case we don't know. Pitta dushtasana sitasmati. Just like a tongue that is diseased cannot taste sweet things. Rupa Goswami also gives this analogy in his Upadeshamrita. We have jaundice. This is what the infection is. Dushta, durita dushtamana. Pavishtamana means we have this disease of jaundice. And therefore, even though the holy name is so sweet, we cannot taste it. We're spoiled by sin, as he said already. So Prahlad isn't actually fallen, but he feels that way, actually. He doesn't only represent himself that way, he actually feels himself that way. Because this is the characteristic of a pure devotee. After Chaitanya Mahaprabhu prays that I don't have any taste, then what does he pray for next? What does he say next? Somebody who has a taste for your name is somebody who feels himself meek and fallen. Or as Prahlad Maharaj says here in today's verse, Dina. Dina. What does Dina mean? Fallen, poor, Dina, destitute. When someone feels that way, actually feels that way, then that person can approach the holy name with real feeling and really take shelter. So this is the other thing, he says. That's the first thing. Prahlad is actually a great exalted soul, but he says these things. Then he gives the reasons, as we discussed already. The mind is degraded by sin. Srila Prabhupada says, here one of the salient sentences in his purport, the mind becomes sinful because we are always engaged in sinful activities. I'll read it again. The mind becomes sinful because we are always engaged in sinful activities. If you engage in sinful activities, it is guaranteed that your mind will change. It will become worse than it is now. It will become stronger. In other words, ati durvada, more insurmountable, more tivra, more kamatura, more of all these things. This is the effect of sin. So, that's valuable information. What are we going to do with it? We have to next decide what does it mean to be sinful? Because this is something that Krishna has a lot to say about in Bhagavad Gita and even in the Srimad Bhagavatam and elsewhere. Basically, he says you should decide what to do and what not to do on the basis of yashastra-vidham. What is the verse? 23 and 24. Yeah, tasmat shastra pramanam te karya akarya vijanta. You have to discriminate. Am I going to do this or am I going to do that? On the basis of what the shastra tells you to do. Simple. You don't have to think about it. You don't have to do research. You just have to submit. Vinit hona chahiye, as we were discussing earlier. You have to become submissive. Vinit then. Because at least one of the glosses for this word was avinitam. Independent, unsubmissive, not so rebellious. Prabhupada often uses this word. So this is the problem. So the mind is degraded by sin. And this is an interesting thing. Because we're talking about artha in this verse means distressed. In the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Rupa Goswami has defined what is distress, klesha. Everybody knows this verse. It describes the six excellences of bhakti. So the first one is klesha dhi, klesha dhna. It destroys klesha. Klesha means sufferings or distresses. Artha, in a sense, it means. So klesha tu papam tat bijam avidyacha. Three things. Papam, bijam, and avidya. Papa means a sinful reaction. There are two kinds of papa. You have the aprarabdha reaction and you have a prarabdha reaction. Prarabdha means that sinful reaction that you're experiencing now in this life. A prarabdha means it's not coming just yet, but it's there. It's on the books, it will eventually manifest. That's called a prarabdha karma. Those are further subdividing. We don't really need to get into it. But the point is that when we, it's like tadbijam. This is the second thing. When we commit any activity, actually, not just sinful activity, but especially sinful activity, it's like planting a seed. That seed, there's an avocado seed is this big, maybe 2 inches, 3 inches big, huge. And it turns into a huge tree. I don't know if you have avocados here in California, they grow everywhere. On the other hand, you have a little poppy seed, tiny, tiny thing, but it's also a seed. And you, thousands and thousands of different kinds of seeds for different plants, different vines, different kinds of trees in this world. Action is like that. Every action is like a unique seed, and you plant it, you get a particular reaction. Zur. You cannot avoid that reaction. When it's going to react, we don't know. That's the difference between prarabdha and aprarabdha. But it will fructify eventually, and we will have to either suffer or enjoy. Now, the point here, we're talking about aprarabdha karma, tadbijam. When the seed has been planted and maybe not even fructified yet, but the effect is there in the mind. That's called sanskarma, imprint. It leaves an indelible mark on your psychology that changes you forever. Not forever, nothing is forever, but for a long time. And when the activity is sinful, then the effect is also sinful. The mind becomes evil. Imagine the mind of a sniper, if you will. You have to single out unsuspecting people and kill them. They don't even know it. What kind of effect does that have on your mind? Or, not only in the West anymore, actually I'm told, now in Hyderabad, if you're a busy working woman, independent of any doc, then you can go out and have a lunch break abortion. Lunch break abortion. And there are untold anecdotes about women who have actually done this, and they, for years afterwards, they have this psychological stain that they're conscious of. When you become really covered over, then you lose your consciousness even of that. That's called which mode? Tamoguna. Tamoguna. You're not aware of anything. But somebody who's a little bit awake spiritually, that person feels it. When the sin has been committed, it blocks them. Because it's unnatural. So, this is all we're expanding on this point that Prabhupada makes. That the mind is degraded by sin. So, papam tadbijam avidyacha. And then the real essence of it is what? Avidya. You have this fundamental spiritual ignorance. That which we've been blessed with as a result of our own choice to turn the other way. As several of our acharyas have already told us, bahiram will come, tadvim will come, to turn away from Krishna. Then we also get bhaya, this is something I didn't mention, bhayam dhityabhinivesha syat. Where does the fear come from? The fear comes when you turn away from God. When you're holding God's hand, holding the parent's hand, the child has no fear. But if he's on his own in a busy crowd, say in the Kolkata railway station, one of the busiest places I've ever seen, Howrah station, what's he going to do? 3-year-old, 4-year-old child. We're like that in the material world. Bhayam pitiyapinadeshitasya. So ishara peta, the same word is used, apeta, having turned away. Durita and apeta are more or less synonymous here. Turned away from Krishna. So, in this condition, the mind is degraded by sin. This is our ignorance. Timeless ignorance, immemorial ignorance we have that impels us to, again, commit some activity and suffer and enjoy. So, we can avoid that by following the Shastra Vidhis. Whatever the Shastra enjoins, that is called piety. Whatever the Shastra prohibits, that is called impiety. Now, Srila Prabhupada elevates this discussion to an entirely transcendental level in his very next sentence. I'll read the first one and then the second one. We've been discussing the first one. The mind becomes sinful because we are always engaged in sinful activities. That is to say that if you do anything that is not sanctioned in the Shastra, that is by definition sinful. But Srila Prabhupada continues, he says, anything not connected with Krishna consciousness should be understood to be sinful. That implies that even if you're engaged in so-called pious activity, but you're not doing it for the sake of Krishna, yajna-artha, then that is all. Prabhupada is elevated to an absolute definition of what is sinful and pious. Anything non-devotional, he's saying, this is the point, that is sinful. If it is not for Krishna, then it's sinful. Even if you're the most pious person. Now in Rupa Goswami's Padyavali, he has seen fit to quote one very interesting verse by Vishnu Puri. Who was Vishnu Puri? Anybody know? He was one of these Banaras sannyasis that were just prior to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They, like Sridhar Swami, they were nominally Mayavad sannyasis, but they were very fond of Krishna and Krishna Bhakti. So he wrote a very nice verse. He says, if someone who is engaged in Krishna consciousness decides to turn away and go out of Krishna consciousness, then that person has committed every sin in the book, even if he doesn't do anything wrong. And that person who has done every sin that you can imagine and many that you cannot even imagine, but he has taken to Krishna consciousness in all sincerity, capital A, all, then that person is completely free of any blemish, even if he has committed every sin in the book. This is the transcendental definition that Prabhupada is introducing here. Krishna consciousness, which is to say that we're interested in doing things for Krishna. It's just like we're not particularly interested in being vegetarians for the sake of being healthy. This is the modern Indian mindset. Actually, it's not even a question of health. I'll tell you the truth. It's a question of aping the West. Because the Westerners are vegetarians for health reasons, therefore the Indians, okay, we can do this too. They've been given permission. This is the point. So this is Prabhupada's definition. It's an absolute definition. You have to do everything for Krishna. You have to surrender. And that's why he quotes this verse. Sarva dharman paritjyamekam sharanam bhajami. Now, sarva dharman paritjyam. It doesn't necessarily mean that you stop performing all the anushtans or the shishtacharas, all the shastra vidhis. It doesn't mean that. It means you give up the attachment to those things. This has been clarified by Krishna himself when he gives what he calls, in that passage, his final opinion on the matter at the beginning, say beginning half dozen verses of chapter 18. You can study it on your own. Okay, so then, next thing that Srila Prabhupada concludes, as I see it, he says, especially in this age of Kali, the mind must be cleansed, and this is possible only by the chanting of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, Cheto Darpana Murti. In this age, the process of chanting the Hare Krishna Mantra is the only method by which to cleanse the sinful mind. It's the only method. The Krishna consciousness movement is meant to educate sinful men so that they may become pious simply by chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. To cleanse the heart so that one may become sober and wise in this age of Kali, there is no value to any other method other than the chanting of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. There are other methods. We follow those methods also. We are also taking a bath every day, correct? Raise your hand if you didn't take a bath today. Yeah, we're also doing this is human life, but these things don't have value to elevate you beyond this primeval avidya that we've been discussing, the kind of infection that Prahlad Maharaj claims to have in his own mind, and which he actually represents to ourselves. He's speaking on our behalf. They don't have any value. Like a snake with its fangs removed, you could say. In Kali Yuga, these things do not work. Now this raises a question. So should we follow anything other than Joshua? Should we just sit and chant Hare Krishna? This is the question. For example, even in the Srimad Bhagavatam, we have many other things that are recommended. Varnashram Dharma is one of them. So, in fact, Srila Prabhupada called it the remaining 50% of his mission in 1977 on more than one occasion. Those of us who remember, Srila Prabhupada had big plans in the summer of that year when he decided to go to Gitanagari. He wanted to really push on this point as well. So are we to dismiss all of that? No. The answer is that we follow anything that we are instructed to follow by our Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. But we don't see them as independent. We don't see them as equal to or independent of the holy name. This is the point. And we certainly don't depend on them as if they were something separate. This is the point. Because otherwise, if we see them as something independent of the chanting of the holy name, then immediately the whole thing becomes degraded to the mundane and ineffectual level of defanged serpents. They have value, like zeros, Prabhupada gave this analogy. They have value when you put the one in front of them. But you remove this Hari Nam principle, everything useless immediately. But if you remove the anushtans, the traditional practices also, then the holy name also becomes less effectual, not ineffectual, but less effective. Why? Because it becomes offense. It becomes namaparat. Specifically, what kind of namaparat? Guru Ravakya. To neglect the order of the spiritual master. Or perhaps the fourth, the next offense, to blaspheme the smritis in addition to the shrutis. That's also offense. Sometimes we hear people doing that. Or maybe the seventh offense, we want to maintain a sinful lifestyle on the strength that I'll be delivered because I'm chanting, even though we're instructed to do otherwise. That's an offense as well. Or the tenth offense is the same thing, to maintain mundane attachment. In this case, mundane attachment in the modern day and age means sinful attachment. You cannot avoid that. It is the natural default. Okay, so these are some things that we are out of time now, but these are some things that are in Srila Prabhupada's purport, and we've already discussed basically three things that Prahlad is saying in this verse. And he continues in the same vein for the next couple of verses. I don't want to spoil the class, so we'll stop here. And we'll see where he's not done yet, so we'll see what he says. Anybody have any questions or comments? Yes, Prabhu.
In the next approach, you probably mentioned that you should engage in one of the nine processes of devotional service, as which we have inclination. And here we hear there's a lot of emphasis on chanting. But we also know that Sukadeva Goswami and Parikshit, they were discussing Bhagavatam at the end of life at Parikshit Conference. And if you say outside of our vows, will it be as powerful as studying Bhagavatam, will that be as powerful as chanting Hare Krishna?
I don't.
If you have more inclination for study,
okay.
Is it as powerful, like we get the same benefits, is it as peace when we study Bhagavatam out of our prescribed grounds than as we chant?
Are you saying that should we study Bhagavatam instead of chanting Hare Krishna?
No, definitely not.
Okay.
After we chant in our 16 rounds,
ah.
If we have more inclination for study, is it as powerful as pleasing to Krishna as chanting to study Bhagavatam?
They're all absolute. They're all pleasing. Sometimes devotees would try to ask a loaded question to Srila Prabhupada to get him to say what they wanted him to say. You know, I'll think of this examples. Many book distributors from Radha Damodar Party came into Prabhupada's room and said, what service pleases you the most? And Prabhupada just told them absolute. If you love Krishna, he's absolute. All the nine processes can give you perfection, and they should. I can't say that one is more important, but you cannot dispense the holy name, because that is ultimately just making all of them work. This is the point. But on the other hand, like I said, you cannot chant the holy name also, unless you're hearing properly. you see? All right, and unless you're worshiping a deity, it's very likely that you're going to be a problem and have problems in other areas as well. All nine processes they're all equally valid. But the main emphasis is on chanting the Hare Krishna Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna,
Hare Hare,
Hare Rama, Hare Rama,
Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Is that okay? Anything else?
Thank you for a nice class.
Welcome.
Here, Prahlad Maharaj just really expressed, especially my condition, can't say everybody's condition. But what is the solution? He really described perfectly the problem.
Yes.
But what is the solution when my mind is so addicted to sense gratification? And he himself said, what else can I do? So what is my hope? What is the solution?
This is why I pointed out two things. One, the first thing is that Prahlad Maharaj is not done yet. He's still got more to say about this. So let him state his case fully first, and then we can conclude whether he's given us a complete solution or not. But secondly, and probably more importantly for us, the solution has been given to us by Srila Prabhupada in his purport, because Prabhupada makes it very clear what we have to do to purify the mind, and that is that we have to take shelter of this Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna. In all sincerity, in the appropriate manner, without offense, in good association, following the process, under his guidance, and gradually everything will become pacified. Sambhiyate, mind will become pleased in this narration about Krishna. Prahlad hasn't stated it, Srila Prabhupada stated it. Is that okay?
Yeah, one thing that comes to my mind is Prabhupada, when trying to establish ISKCON and grow ISKCON, he primarily engaged his disciples in the vision of distributing books and preaching. And that seemed to have a tremendous effect in uplifting his followers to a point where they became not addicted to this. So is there the most efficacious path to actually give Krishna to others, even though you're not qualified, but make an attempt to give Krishna to others in the process, becoming uplifted to a point where you don't get attracted by this?
I hope so. Otherwise, we're all toast. We have to, the best way to attract the Lord's attention is to bring others to Krishna consciousness, that's a fact. Even we're not perfect, Prabhupada gives the example, we're like a postal peons. If we just carry the message, and do not tamper with the mail. Don't open it, don't edit it, don't change it, don't put it south, don't hide it, don't throw it away. Just deliver the mail, and then you'll get mercy. That's a fact. Other than that, we have to just be patient and enthusiastic and follow things nicely, according to the Vedanta. Six principles, positive and negative. Is that okay? All right, you better stop me. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Om Bhagavate Shiva.
His grace, Mahaprabhu. That's what we'll be.
Yeah.